The University of Arkansas in Fayetteville recently announced a record number of intellectual property disclosures reported by campus researchers. 42 inventions were reported for the 2013 fiscal year, which ended June 30th. 18 of those disclosures were made by faculty with dual appointments at both the Fayetteville campus and the University of Arkansas System's statewide Division of Agriculture. The division's intellectual property is managed by Lisa Childs, who heads the division's Technology Commercialization Office. Technology Ventures is the university's technology transfer office, and Jeff Amerine is its executive director.
When a researcher will come up with something, they'll do an invention disclosure, which is basically a several-page description of what they have written in layman's terms so that those of us who are not necessarily have depth in a particular scientific field will understand it. We'll then look at the patent landscape. So we'll go out either through our own resources or through outside patent counsel, and we'll look at what's called prior art, which is everything else that's been published with the patent office that's similar or in publications that may make for, you know, a public disclosure. If something's public already in the public domain, as we say it, you typically can't get patent coverage for it. And so that's what we do. We check to see, can it be patented? Does it meet the hurdles? And we don't always know, really, until you engage with the patent office, but we'll have a pretty good idea before we start.
Amerine explains there are various ways to protect intellectual property, such as patents. He says patents give a 20-year monopoly around something that is novel, non-obvious, and useful. He also describes it as something that advances the state of the art within a particular discipline. Amerine says in order to get patent protection, you must apply to the United States Patent and Trademark Office and then undergo an examination process, so it could take up to 4 years to be awarded patent protection. He says it's a difficult and expensive process, but it's a valuable one because it adds value to researchers' activities and to the startup community if the patented technology is something that could be commercialized. In addition to patents, there are several other methods of protecting intellectual property.
Copyright material could be like software or authored works. It's anything that you write. It's not as difficult to get that done and approved as it is for patents, because basically anything you write that's original that you didn't plagiarize from someone else is your copyright. And then registration just gives you additional rights and legal coverage. So a lot of times we'll discourage inventors from trying to pursue patents for copyrights. For software, and we'll go ahead and have them follow a copyright. And then trademark is some of the most valuable intellectual property of all time. For example, you could think about the trademark for Coca-Cola or the trademark for Gatorade. University of Florida has made over $40 million on that trademark. So trademark is a unique symbol or mark that you want to associate with the brand. A lot of times a lot of brand equity or brand value can be built around it. And then trade secrets are things like the secret recipe for KFC, for their extra crispy or their original, or the formula to Coke. And sometimes we'll have researchers that will come up with something that's really unique, but that would be difficult to protect, like say a new algorithm that would get implemented. If they had to expose that in a patent, everybody in the world would see it, and it'd be very hard to defend or protect if somebody was actually infringing and using it. So sometimes you don't tell anybody about it. You just protect it, you keep it very closely held.
If U of A faculty members invent something, Amerine says under their terms of employment, they must assign it to the university. If graduate students who are not employees develop something, they have more rights. Amerine says they can own the intellectual property and they can choose to use his office or not. If they are joint inventors with someone from the U of A, they are required to disclose the invention to the university, so the U of A would receive the assignment, and then the university would help researchers with patent coverage and taking their invention to market.
The researcher clearly gets credit. They're listed as the inventor. They assign it to the university. They're obligated to do that by their terms of employment. They then are cut in on any royalties that may come from this based on Board of Trustee, University of Arkansas Board of Trustee Policy 210.1, and I hate to be a policy wonk, but that's the policy that covers it. And what that says is the first 50% of $200,000 of royalties will go to the inventors. The rest goes to UA system and UA, the campus that was involved. And then after $200,000 in royalties, they get 35% until the end of time, basically for as long as the patent is good. And so there's a strong incentive. And a lot of these folks are really wanting to change the world. They're not necessarily money motivated, but it's nice to know that there's an incentive that if you do something which is really kind of one more thing in their academic career, and something good comes from it, they can be rewarded.
A recent U of A graduate who has become familiar with the patent process is Ellen Bruni. She earned her doctorate in chemical engineering earlier this year and is the founder of Boston Mountain Biotech LLC. The startup company is now a Genesis Technology Incubator client at the Arkansas Researcher and Technology Park in South Fayetteville. She started the company after developing a patent-pending method to simplify the pharmaceutical production of proteins used in drugs that treat a variety of diseases and health conditions.
You hear lots of stories about inventors who have the eureka moment of, oh, I found it. A lot of researchers never really have that eureka moment. You kind of realize you've been working on something for years and years of your life, and one day you kind of get to talking to somebody about it, and they're like, well, that's kind of neat. I think I would actually buy that. And it's kind of quirky, I guess. You're like, really? This was just kind of my pet project. And so we kind of had the same experience that we had begun developing this. And in conjunction, it was a National Science Foundation-funded project, and they started a new thing called their I-Corps project. And you could apply for a grant, and they would kind of train scientists on how to commercialize technology. And so we applied for that grant because our technology people were kind of interested in, and we just thought we'd see how it goes. So we were awarded that grant, which did the Lean Startup Training by Steve Blank, and he actually taught the class. And part of it was we had to call 100 different people and ask them what they thought about our technology. That was a lot of time on the phone. And in that process, we realized that people really wanted this. This actually fit a huge market need, and there was a huge desire for this technology. And so I guess there was never this huge eureka moment. It was just kind of a slow progression of, oh, this is bigger than what I thought it was.
Bruni was among an interdisciplinary group of researchers who filed an intellectual property disclosure form last year. The U of A filed a provisional patent application and issued a license to commercialize the technology to Boston Mountain Biotech last fall. The research group also filed for an international patent under the Patent Cooperation Treaty. When that application publishes in mid-September, the researchers will be able to release some technical data. Currently, that information is confidential, which has posed some problems for Bruni.
That's usually the mindset I'm familiar with, the whole publish-or-perish mindset. Like, you publish, and most of the time, graduate students are under the mindset of, I need X number of publications so that I can graduate. And then faculty members need X number of publications to make tenure or tenure review. And so that's just kind of the loop you get stuck in is, oh, I need to publish. And patenting is just the complete opposite, because I can't publish at all until, I guess, after September when the patent publishes. But up till then, like, I have no publications at all, which is just very strange to most researchers.
Jeff Amerine, Executive Director of Technology Ventures, says he believes the trend of a record number of invention disclosures at the U of A will continue because success begets success. He says people start to see high-profile success stories like Silicon Solar Solutions and Boston Mountain Biotech and realize this is a worthwhile thing to do. Amerine says there's nothing wrong with being a participant in commercializing these technologies, because if intellectual property sits on a shelf in a dissertation or a peer-reviewed publication, it's only going to benefit the academic crowd that's interested in that area of study. He says if they can get the technology to market, it has the chance to help people and change lives. The success of startups in the state has garnered national attention. Earlier this month, CNN Money posted an article on its website focusing on the large number of startup companies that have popped up in Northwest Arkansas in recent years. Amerine says this activity is because of a confluence of things.
It starts with the will on the part of the entrepreneurs to actually do it, and the belief that this kind of thing is not impossible. And there's something, I don't know if it's unique in the water, but there's a legacy, a history of entrepreneurship in the area, a can-do kind of attitude. I think through the efforts of Dr. Carol Reeves and the state, and just the talent pool that we have access to because of the orbit around the big retailer and the other large companies, this place is in a unique position to be a venture and startup hotspot. And we're starting to see real traction and real results. Over the last 6 months, there's been over $100 million in out-of-state venture capital investment. That's unprecedented. It never occurred here before. Will we be the next Silicon Valley? No. No one will be the next Silicon Valley other than Silicon Valley. but can we be a world-class location for ventures that are based on university research and that also solve big problems in retail, supply chain, food processing, healthcare, without a doubt. And we're doing that. This is a place that's going to continue to get more and more publicity on a national and international front because of some of the things that have happened in the last 5 or 6 years. No doubt about it. It's a great place to be.
More information is available at techventures.uark.edu or bostonmountainbiotech.com.